With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and we are happy now to have in studio Greg Virga, former city councilor, former school committee person, and current candidate for office in the city of Gloucester, and we got to find out which office you're running for now, Greg, seriously, but welcome. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. Well, in about, I'd say half an hour, I'm going to be running for mayor.
Okay.
I have to head down to City Hall to withdraw from the council at large race and get the nomination papers to
run
for mayor.
A couple of questions. What prompted you, first of all, to decide to get back into the city council, to go back onto the city council if you were elected? Why did you want to get back on this again?
Well, I come out of retirement, yes.
there you go.
excuse me. It's been, what, 5.5 years since I left, so January 2016. And, you know, I've enjoyed life. Things happened. I guess I'll give a little explanation where I've been.
Sure.
So after leaving office, since then, I've had 2 grandchildren. You know, I've started Unfinished Music, which is here on MSO Radio.
Yep.
And, you know, my parents are older, so I was taking care of my mother, who has some dementia. You know, her power of attorney, my wife's her healthcare proxy. So that stuff was taking up a lot of time.
Sure.
And, you know, we've got things sort of situated, a system for all these things, the kids in preschool, et cetera. The radio show was on hiatus because of COVID, but we're back. Stay tuned at the end of July. And so I said, you know, it's time to get back into things. After seeing what's been going on in the city, there's a lot of controversies. And but the one thing that was happening when both myself going around asking people to sign my nomination papers for city council, as well as others I had collected signatures for me, they were being asked, why isn't he running for mayor? You know, and I was like, I don't think the time is right, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, just more and more support, more and more information being out there about, you know, things that maybe aren't so cool going on at City Hall. And I figured it was time to bring some professionalism back to City Hall and set the tone for, you know, mutual respect and collaboration throughout city government, both elected and appointed officials, and all of our employees from top to bottom.
You have, there's an article on the front page of the Gloucester Times today, but you also sent out a press release that sort of enumerated some of your concerns and some of the things you're mentioning now. But before we get into that, I want to ask you a little bit about COVID, because, you know, you mentioned Unfinished Music, and the number of musicians and artists in the city that, or on the North Shore, actually, mm-hmm. that you've had in studio and that we've had, you know, on the program is large. And those people, for the most part, I'm guessing not all of them were professional musicians in that it wasn't their whole livelihood.
Right.
But they could make a dime here and there and get a little extra bread. And that was all out the window because all the venues, such as the Rum Line and places like that, were closed and you couldn't have live music. So I'm just wondering, you know, maybe your look at that particular aspect, because I'm sure you've talked with musicians, you've talked with restaurant owners and stuff like that, on how they were affected and maybe how we're coming out of this thing right now, because Gloucester is a tourist town now, as much as it probably more than being a fishing town.
Right.
And it relies on that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's good timing that we're coming out of COVID and the COVID restrictions for the summertime and bands. You know, I think at first it was just acoustic solo people were allowed, but full bands were playing. I saw on the internet the other day, not here, but somewhere in the U.S., Foo Fighters played to the first capacity crowd.
Oh, okay.
You know, and that's awesome, you know. But musicians, most of the people around here are not professionals. They have day jobs. But, you know, you make some pretty good money if you're playing regularly, you know, every weekend, maybe even 2 times a weekend. You know, it helps pay for your equipment mm-hmm. and the electricity cost and, you know, maybe helps convince your spouse that it's kind of worth the money you're spending. But
okay, that sounds a little personal, but I get it.
Yeah, so I think it's good that we're coming out of this. I don't know. Maybe it won't be as lucky and have a 100-year gap between this pandemic and the next one like we did between mm-hmm. Spanish flu and now. But I think we learned a lot of things. We, the city, this state, this country, and hopefully if there's a next time, we'll be able to nip it in the bud. And there'll be more respect for the science to help nip it in the bud faster.
Well, you know, in Gloucester and in Massachusetts, I think, the North Shore in particular, all the mayors I've talked with and so on, officials, we've done a pretty good job overall. And by we, I say, you know, the collective we followed the rules, did what we were supposed to do. There was a lot of complaining, especially from you know, the restaurant industry, justifiably, I think, because not to name any stores, but there's a great big box store on Route 114, and if we went in there, the only rule that they were going by was the standing in line outside.
Right.
You go inside, and it was just jam packed
during
this whole thing. So, you know, in general, we did it. We're out of it, and you got to follow the rules and so on. Now, I wonder if you could mention maybe some of the things that you have in your press release in terms of what you're looking at, out of the head office here in Gloucester, out of the mayor's office.
Well, I guess one thing to think about for consideration is we need to start looking ahead. And we haven't. We've been spinning our wheels. And someone said we're on a hamster wheel. And we're basically on a rusty hamster wheel. I don't think much has been going on. You know, COVID certainly didn't help. But there's been no big ideas, in my opinion, coming out of City Hall, the administration, for a long time. And we need to start looking ahead. Our 400th anniversary is just around the corner. You know, we need to start thinking about the future. You know, it shouldn't be each time something comes out, we have to reinvent the wheel. Like this thing about the school consolidation. You know, there should have been discussion about what becomes of the old schools. You know, that because if there's further consolidation down the road, then what becomes of those old schools? We're currently renting space at Pond Road and over at Blackburn for the old charter school building. Maybe it's time to bring people back into city-owned properties. So it's got to be a lot more transparency and a lot more creative thinking instead of just reactionary. And basically the focus hasn't been on anything except scandal reduction. And that's the first thing that's going to change when I become the mayor is there won't be that kind of misguided focus on things that are self-inflicted wounds.
Okay, and I want to follow up. You mentioned looking at down the road and so on. Everywhere I go, Greg, there's a concern about affordable housing, and in Gloucester we've seen that great big I don't know what to call it, but the great big complex here. at the Blackburn, not Blackburn Circle, but
Fuller,
Gloucester Crossing. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. With the new YMCA and hundreds of apartments there, we see a gigantic lobster on Main Street that's on the side. It's a beautiful mural, by the way.
Right.
On the side of a brand new complex there. So how do you look at affordable housing? Because the property values are so high that I don't think my kids or my grandkids, unless they are bequeathed a property, I don't think they're going to be able to afford to stay in Gloucester.
Right. Well, as people may know, I am a real estate broker, so it's something I live day to day. And you're right. The thing about the kids, the future, the generations of Gloucester, that's been around for a long time. That a lot of people are in houses they couldn't afford. It's just they got them in a will. They were left to the people, or they were sold cheaply by the family.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those people couldn't afford to buy the houses they live in today. You know, how do we get out of it? That's the million-dollar question. Or in the case of Gloucester, the average sale price of, like, now close to $600,000 for a single-family house.
Wow.
You know, it's been crazy. I just looked this morning. There were two houses under $600,000 in Gloucester as of this morning.
Wow.
I have one that's coming on. As soon as I leave here, I'll be entering it into MLS that's going to come on for $525,000, just a single-family house. It was unthinkable a few years ago.
Yikes, yeah.
So, I mean, what is the solution? I mean, we have to have development, but it has to be smart development. You can't just be putting things here and there. And the thing about the affordable aspect, when you look at the rules we have in terms of if you build, I think it's over 11 units, you have to have a certain amount of affordable housing. But the ones over at Fuller, the sign says luxury housing, luxury
right,
apartments.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And there may be a sprinkling in there that are affordable, but I think the affordable, based on the current federal guidelines for affordable income, is, I think it's $1,800 for a two-bedroom apartment. You know, that's unsustainable, I mean, for the locals. So what do? We have to build the local economy for the locals as opposed to pushing them out. But on the other hand, it's hard to tell an owner if they have a house that's they could sell today for $600,000. You shouldn't. You should sell it for something more reasonable.
Yeah,
this
right,
is America.
Right. Right.
But, if I had the magic answer for that right now,
yeah.
I'd be, a different person. But at least I have the understanding of where we are, how we got here, and I know how to talk to people and bring in the right people mm-hmm. to make things that are I guess, livable, make things livable for people here in Gloucester.
A couple of years ago, before COVID, in the summertime, the traffic was unbelievable.
Yes.
It was incredible. I personally, I live in Gloucester, and so I could not go to, for example, Market Basket on the weekend. It's just not possible.
Right.
Because of the traffic. We go to Charlie's Place, to name another restaurant in town for breakfast on Sunday. Couldn't do that because of the traffic. Last year, of course, it was regulated due to COVID. The beach parking was limited, and that was publicized and so on. But now you've got a new complex, as we just mentioned, up at the Blackburn Circle area at Gloucester Crossing. There's a new business there in terms of the YMCA. The beaches are sort of open. Good Harbor Beach is sort of open. Half of it's roped off. At high tide, it's not open at all because of the plopping plovers or whatever they're called.
Plovers, yeah.
Yeah. And, Gloucester's restaurants are open again, and people do want to come here. It's mm-hmm. a gorgeous, it's beautiful. Cape Ann is absolutely stunning. So in terms of traffic, plus you've got the new school right off of that congested area that abuts 128 and Eastern Avenue.
Yeah. The proposed approved new school.
Have you looked into that? I mean, I read things in the paper, and I'm not quite sure what's going on, but I do know that on certain days it's tough to move around in the city.
Right. I'm aware of it because I drive too. We're out here in West Gloucester, we sort of have the option of going the other direction, you know, mm-hmm. up the line, so to speak. And, that's not necessarily good for Gloucester if the biggest land area, the residents out in the biggest land area, go in the wrong direction to spend their tax dollars, to spend their dollars. So the solution, again, the million-dollar question, what is the magic solution? But it seems like we talk about it every year in the summer, and then we stop talking about it. You know, till the next summer.
Exactly.
So, you know.
And let's add the bridge over the Annisquam. Let's add that too.
The cut bridge?
The cut bridge.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, the 8 Pi and Andrew, I noticed, has like barriers, like they're doing more construction. I don't know what that is yet, but that's not going to be pretty for this summer. But, and then the train bridge is messing up things.
Yeah, we got, that's right. On. We got the West Gloucester train stuck out in West Gloucester.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think, as I said in my press release, we need to look seriously at the traffic situation, and then come up with creative but realistic solutions. You know, it can't just be, let's talk about it, and then, you know, in September when things start to settle down, we don't have to talk about it again. Because it's like your perennial plants, they're going to pop up again in the spring, so we've got to be ready for it. So, you know, we have to look at it seriously and see what solutions
I got all excited last year when I saw, and I think it was in social media, and I don't know if it came from the mayor's office or where it came from, but the idea of, why don't we regulate the opening of the cut bridge to, like, let's say on the half hour and on the hour. And so boaters will know that.
Right.
And, drivers will know that. And instead, I shouldn't say it this way, but we have, there's an operator, I don't know who it is, at the bridge, and I swear if a duck goes up the river, the bridge goes up. it just seems to be more and more this summer, so.
Well, and that, you know, you see that if you've driven down, like, I've been in North Carolina and other areas where they have cut bridges, to mm-hmm. use the phrase, and you'll see signage when the bridges are going to go up.
Okay.
Here it's not a decision of the council or the mayor or anybody, it's a state.
Right.
Thing.
And the boaters have the right of way.
The boaters have the right of way at this point. But, right. I mean, I was there 2-3 days ago on coming to head over to the West Gloucester side, and the bridge was up for a very long time, and I didn't see one boat go through. So it's frustrating for the locals and the visitors. So if there's a way to do it, you know, we should be doing it. But again, that's conversation with our partners at the state level.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now, speaking of partners at the state level, every mayor I talk with in the past year or so has absolutely lauded the communication out of the State House, particularly from the governor's office and the help that they've been getting. In your past life as a city councilor, and maybe now as a candidate for mayor, how do you see that relationship between Gloucester and the State House?
You mean with a new mayor, does it make a difference? Is that what you're... getting at, or?
Just your overall opinion of how that relationship should be, and, you know, how maybe how it is from your perception.
Well, it seems like a good relationship, and it's because we have a good state rep and a good state senator who help keep things moving along. So, and because they're in different parties, that helps depending on what the party is of the governor at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've met the governor a few times. I mean, I'm not like pals with him, but I would certainly continue any relationship and communication because it's all going to benefit Gloucester.
Mm-hmm.
We're all in it together. But it's also, but the communication is even a greater deal, like the communication between the mayor's office and the school administration and school committee, the mayor's office and the city council. Right now, I'm not so sure the relationship, at least around the city council side in the mayor's office, I'm not sure so sure that's such a healthy relationship. That's definitely in need of some, improvement and some intervention. And in my opinion, I think the intervention is going to require new leadership. I think the mayor should be encouraging camaraderie and communication and cooperation between the council and the mayor's office and amongst the council as opposed to, encouraging divisions. And the other thing, which is a big one, is the mayor, by virtue of the charter, is a member of the school committee. As mayor, I will be a member of the school committee, participating, engaged, and knowing what's going on and given my two cents where it's needed and, taking the input and advice where it's needed. It shouldn't be a mayor just sits there because they're told by the charter they have to sit there. You know, what they bring to the table should be relevant and helpful to the process.
I had another question that was kind of personal, and I totally lost it because I was paying attention. And that's what an interviewer is supposed to do is pay attention. I unless it comes back to me, I think I don't have any more questions. Are there anything else that you'd like to bring up and mention?
Well, I'm just want people to look seriously at the candidates. I mean, right now, as of today, I don't know who's turned in paperwork, but I will be the sixth candidate. Yeah, sixth candidate. And, some of the candidates have different reasons for jumping in the race. I can tell you mine is not to be a symbolic candidate to give somebody a protest vote. I am in this race to win this race, and I intend to run hard, and I intend to run the facts, and I intend to push back where it's needed and call out BS where it is and let people know what my views are and how I intend to make the city a better place as we close in on the 400th anniversary in 2023.
All right, and I did remember a final question. That being said, when I vote for someone, I don't know who that someone is getting advice from until the positions are filled. And I guess a general broad question, you don't have to name names, but generally, is there a person that you do rely on? Because certainly your dad was a very experienced man,
right,
in terms of government and so on. So is there someone that you can go to for advice or who will sort of nudge you here and there, and you know what I'm trying to say. Just
right.
A person you can rely on.
Yeah, well, definitely my father, because he understands how the system works. He certainly knows the interaction between the city and the state, how it should work.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously my wife is a good advisor. She keeps her ear to the ground. And there are members of the city council, I'm not ready to name names, but there are a good number of them who are supportive. It's up to them if they want to come out public. I can say Melissa Cox is my campaign treasurer. She is not running for re-election as a city councilor at large.
Mm-hmm.
So they help keep me appraised. And they have, even before I've even considered running, every time I talk to them, they'd let me know what's going on the council.
Okay.
And, I stepped away. So I haven't been involved in a lot of the decision-making. I've kept an eye on what's been in the press and obviously some of the more controversial stuff in the press. But having these people who are currently in office keeping me appraised is very helpful.
All right, I've got one more question. I'm sorry. It has to do with social media. What's your handle on that?
Where can they find me on social media?
Well,
what's my thoughts on social media?
either, because a lot of information, a lot of misinformation, and I go hunting. I go fishing on social media for news tips.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of misinformation is out there frequently. I'll hear something about something going on. I'll go to cover it. And it has nothing to do with what I saw on social media.
Right.
So, I mean, in terms of you're getting out information from the mayor's office, how do you view social media?
So as the mayor or a candidate?
As the mayor. I'll link to your site.
All right. Let's start as a candidate. I can tell you my campaign page, Vote for Virga, is the Facebook page. VoteVirga.com is our web page, which is not up. It right now points to the Facebook page, but stay tuned. That'll be a live website.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's posted on my page is going to be factual. It's going to be useful information. And if something, if somebody questions it, you know, I'll take a look. And if it's wrong, it's coming down. Going forward as mayor, it's not going to be the public relations Facebook page for me, Greg Virga, mayor. You know, here's my picture, and I just want to be seen. It's going to be information that's relevant to the city, relevant to the issues we're looking at. And again, if people point out discrepancies or inaccuracies, that page will be revised. Anything coming out of my administration's office is going to be relevant, factual information.
All right. Thank you, sir. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
All right. That's Greg Virga, who is now candidate for mayor in the city of Gloucester. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.